This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 15th of November 2024. Hello, and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle, dated the 14th of November 2024. Your readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Heather Bryant.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are: City could lose its central bus station, Dean Catherine to retire next year, and councillors' anger at water leak chaos. So we start with the story behind the first headline.
City could lose its central bus station. Council leader defends plans to move facility. Winchester could be on the verge of losing a central bus station. The current bus station is set to be redeveloped as part of the Central Winchester regeneration and possibly relocated to the train station. Definite plans for city centre redevelopment are set to emerge soon, but the future of the bus station was raised at the full council meeting. The leader of Winchester City Council has locked horns with a member of the public over the issue. Councillor Martin Todd responded to questions by former City Councillor Patrick Davis, who referenced the inclusion in the local plan of an opportunity to transfer the bus station to the station approach area. Mr. Davis was also perplexed as to why this had not been mentioned in the Council's continued discussions around the plans for the regeneration of the area around the station known as Station Approach. He asked, why has the Station Approach update process continued without any reference to the Council's decision in its local plan, Regulation 19 document, to move the city centre bus station to the railway station? Councillor Todd replied that while there was a reference to the possibility of the bus station moving up the hill to the train station, this is unlikely to materialise. He said, this seems quite black and white, but is not a statement of council policy. It's a report of what was said by some people at a workshop in 2021. Councillor Todd added, it's not a practical policy. This is not a change we could make and still be able to have coherent and reliable bus system. However, Mr. Davis was not satisfied with this answer and moved on to a more general critique of the station approach plans. He asked, doesn't this whole exercise prove how ill thought out the Council's rush to produce this Regulation 19 documentation is, and that it has failed the people of this district, because it is now very difficult to see how people can respond intelligently to this Station Approach Cabinet Committee regeneration paper? To this, Councillor Todd replied, I make absolutely no apology at all for putting forward a positive vision of what it is we're trying to achieve in the station area, and also, on a separate basis, no apology at all for wanting us to have a coherent, city-wide, properly thought-through approach to buses that has been adequately consulted on and takes the needs of the city as a whole when we look at how bus routes and bus infrastructure need to be organised. I would stress that it is clear in the document that this is not the transport strategy. The thing that makes a bus route successful is where it goes, not where it parks. In the past, Councillor Todd has cited Brighton as a place without a bus station, but where bus stops are scattered around the city. The Chronicle Letters page has recently seen several letters from bus users, unhappy at the deterioration of the bus station and the uncertainty over its future. Phil Gregg, a member of Winchester ACC, raised concerns about the loss of the station and urged the council to ensure any development at Station Approach includes a proper transport interchange.
Dean Catherine to retire next year. The very Reverend Catherine Ogle, Dean of Winchester Cathedral, has announced that she is retiring next year. Dean Catherine, 63, has held the position since February 2017 and has decided to retire for personal reasons. She will leave on May the 1st. She said, "For some years I've planned my retirement for 2025. This is the year that my husband reaches the age of 70, and we both feel that it's the right time for us to move on into a new stage of life. Christian ministry is always a privilege. Serving as dean has been the greatest honour. I never imagined, when I became one of the first women to be ordained priest in the Church of England in 1994, that God's calling would lead here. I am enormously grateful for the adventure and companionship of the last few years, as the cathedral has faced new challenges, not least those of the COVID years, and the kindness and love that has been shared. Winchester Cathedral has a great future as well as a magnificent heritage. I'm looking forward now to the next stage of life, to moving back to Yorkshire and spending more time with our family there. News of the Dean's retirement comes months into an independent review ordered by the Bishop of Winchester into the future of music at the cathedral, following allegations of bullying of the former Director of Music, Dr. Andrew Lumsden. Dean Catherine will lead the implementation of the recommendations of the review commissioned by Bishop Mount Stephen into the management and governance of the cathedral. Philip Mount Stephen, the Bishop of Winchester, said, "Notwithstanding the challenges of the last few months, I am immensely grateful to Dean Catherine, not only for the warmth of her personal welcome to me since I arrived as bishop, but also for the excellence of the ministry she has exercised at the cathedral, making it a place of generous hospitality and uplifting worship. I quite understand her personal reasons for going, but I'm only sorry we will not have had the opportunity to work together for longer. During her time as Dean, besides guiding the cathedral community through the pandemic, Catherine Ogle, as Chair of Chapter, has overseen the £1 million organ restoration, as well as the development of an estate's master plan that will direct the conservation and development of the cathedral and estate for the next 30 years. Dean Catherine added, "Cathedral life is all about teamwork, and I've been blessed to work with the most marvellous team of talented people here."
This item is headed Councillor's Anger at Water Leak Chaos. Traffic chaos erupted in a group of Hampshire villages after a simple water leak took longer to repair than planned. Southern Water, which is responsible for the area's water supply, initially responded to reports of the issue on August 19th, but had to close a stretch of Springvale Road on the weekend beginning November the 2nd. On November the 5th, the closure was still in force, and reports came in of widespread disruption of traffic and bus services. Among those nettled at the disruption was Winchester City Councillor for the Worthies, Jackie Porter, Lib Dem, who criticised both the Tory-led Hampshire County Council and Southern Water for what she sees as their inaction. She said, Traffic built up at 5 p.m. on Monday the 4th and was really dangerous, especially at Loveton Lane, Park Lane and the A33 crossroads. This traffic was exacerbated by the closure of the M3 northbound beyond Junction 7 at Basingstoke due to overrunning roadworks lasting well into the morning. Councillor Porter added, "Someone next door has commented that in past years the police would have been on hand directing traffic. I think that's a really good point. It was a practice to keep people safe, but it no longer happens. I wrote pleading to Southern Water to speed up the works. I wrote to Hampshire County Council and Southern Water with my complaint. Southern Water said in reply to my plea that they would get someone to look at it. They need to tarmac it, not just look at it. In addition to the closure, the water was turned off in the area of Kingsworthy, west of Springvale Road, on November the 5th, as part of the repairs. Southern Water posted the following statement on its website regarding the closure. We're really sorry for any inconvenience this might cause. We aim to complete these repairs as soon as possible. When your water comes back on, you may notice some minor discoloration or low pressure. This is completely normal and is only temporary. Councillor Porter, who also represents the Itchen Valley District at Hampshire County Council, lamented the disruption caused. She said, meanwhile, stagecoach and school buses are also trying to cope with the outfall of all this mess. Kingsworthy is cut in half, and up to this point, no one can speed up Southern Water. A spokesperson for Southern Water said, our teams are working hard to repair a leak at Springvale Road, Kingsworthy. We're sorry for the disruption this is causing business and customers in the area, especially as this is a key road in the village. We are expecting this work to be completed tomorrow morning, November the 6th.
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Allen, Leslie Francis Allen, on the 23rd of October, aged 84, at home. Dell, Jane Dell, née West, formerly of Chandler's Ford, at the Royal Alexandra Hospital, Paisley, on the 31st of October. Finch, Janice Francis Finch, known as Jan, at Flowerdown Care Home, Winchester, on the 21st of October, aged 79. Geary, Robert Arthur Geary, on the 21st of October, aged 97. Hellier, Russell Clive Harcum Hellier, on the 5th of October, aged 91. Lloyd, George David Preston Lloyd, known as David, at Winchester Hospice on the 24th of October, aged 92. Lywood, Judith Adelaide Lywood, on the 15th of October, aged 90. Newman, Peter Newman, known as Roy, on the 16th of October, aged 89. Parfitt, Gary Frank Parfitt, on the 31st of October at Winchester Hospice, aged 78. Pay, David John Pay, on the 29th of October. Smith, Jean Smith, at Techfield House, Winchester, on the 1st of November, aged 94. Squire, Myra Squire, at Winchester Hospice on the 1st of November, aged 77. Swaziland, Jennifer Swaziland, known as Jenny, at home on the 3rd of November, aged 74. And Tripp, Charles Tripp, on the 21st of October, aged 81. And now we have Christian comment.
Helping others to come to follow Jesus, and this is by the Reverend James Pitkin. In many nations this weekend, people gathered to remember those who fought and in too many cases died for their country, whether that was in the so-called Great War that ended at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, or in so many conflicts since. Supposedly, the war to end all wars is now often called the First World War to distinguish it from the one that began just two decades later, the Second World War. Whether or not we approve of military imagery in our Gospel reading for Sunday, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20, sees Jesus calling the first of those who will metaphorically fight for him. This is not just your country needs you, as in that famous recruitment poster, but the kingdom needs you. Those first disciples, in turn, will enlist others when they fish for people, as Jesus predicted. In some of those cases, they will lay down their lives for that kingdom, as Jesus himself did. This might apply to some of the young people who enlist in wars, but they too would know about reasons to do it. Newspapers in 1914 would cover that war, and in later conflicts, radio and television, and increasingly these days, social media, even though that might sometimes be dangerously inaccurate and misleading. As we hear Jesus' words, why might we answer his call? How much do we know about him? Finding out more about Jesus and about his role in God's ongoing plan will help us to understand our own place in that story. Regular worship, Bible study and discussions can deepen our faith, but it's how we put what we have learned into practice that will help others come to follow Jesus. And when they see how our faith impacts our lives as we seek to love God with our whole heart and love our neighbors as ourselves. God's kingdom needs you. If everyone were to answer that call, there might never be another war. And that is from the Reverend James Pitkin, who is Rural Dean of Romsey and Chaplain to the RAF Air Cadets.
Next we have letters to the editor. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860 836, that's 01962 860 836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. We've 9 letters this week, some of them quite short and on a variety of topics. So we'll start off with the first letter.
And in this first letter, Tom Williams says, NHS saved me. Last week, the NHS literally saved my life. I am eternally grateful to my consultant surgeon, Frances Golder, her colorectal and theatre teams, and the nurses and all other staff in Wainwright and Bartlett wards, and the intensive care unit at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, who combined their skills to ensure that I am now at home and beginning the long road to recovery. What struck me most of all was, despite being overworked, the hospital staff always put their patients first. They were, as might be expected, mostly not of UK origin, and it made me wonder how many of the thousands of refugees in this country whose asylum claims have not been processed, either from planned neglect or incompetent, have skills that could quickly be utilised in our stretched public services. Since the arrival of the Romans, Angles, Saxons, Normans, and refugees such as Nigel Farage's Huguenot ancestors in small boats, immigrants have contributed greatly to making Britain what it is. Surely it is time to ensure that all asylum applications are processed within weeks rather than months, and legal means of entering the country are available so that refugees can quickly fulfil their desire to contribute to society. That letter is from Tom Williams, Hairstock Road, Hairstock, Winchester.
This letter is entitled Festivities Start, from David Buck. On Friday, December the 6th, Christmas officially starts in Stockbridge. This year, the evening will start at 3:45 p.m. with the bells of St. Peter's and Paul chiming to welcome the tractor rally, which will be calling Santa to the town hall, where he will be in his forest grotto from 4 till 6 p.m. Cinderella will be welcoming the community, and then every child, and probably a few adults, will have to pass the naughty or nice machine before meeting the big man, who this year is giving out presents and certificates to the children. Santa will briefly leave at 6 p.m. to join the Reverend Joe Sweetnam in officially turning on the Christmas tree lights. Santa will then return to his grotto until 7 p.m. He will then leave to return to the North Pole. The High Street will be alive with music, with brass bands, choirs, bell ringers and opera singers. Meet Cinderella in the Town Hall and look out for the cast of Beauty and the Beast in the High Street. Community will join together outside the church at 5:40 p.m. for some festive carol singing led by Stockbridge Primary School. The church will be open for hot drinks and traditional mince pies afterwards. Several of the shops are providing street food, so no one will go hungry or thirsty. There will be plenty of hot chocolate, glühwein and street food to be enjoyed from 4 p.m. onwards. This year the businesses of Stockbridge have been very active and have helped Santa, ensuring that every child that attends Stockbridge Primary School receives a wrapped present. The church Christmas tree and individual trees on shops and houses of the High Street will be placed from the 23rd of November and are supported by the community, local businesses and the parish council. Look out for the red posters in local windows showing the supporters of this free community event. This is a wonderful free-to-attend Christmas event that brings together the community, businesses, charitable organisations and the council with one simple aim: to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. We look forward to seeing you all on the day. This from David Buck, Prego Dining, Stockbridge.
New lights are causing congestion, and this is from Carol Orchard. Months after it was installed, at considerable expense, I still struggle to understand the logic behind the new pedestrian crossing controlled by traffic lights, where the Romsey Road passes over the railway line. Before it was there, vehicles heading in either direction were regularly stopped or slowed from the west by the traffic lights outside the hospital and from the east by the roundabout near the Westgate. Pedestrians really had to wait more than a minute to cross the Romsey Road anywhere between those two points. Now it can be unpleasant to cross near the railway bridge because of the lingering fumes from traffic resuming the climb up the hill from standing start at the new lights, necessarily in first gear. It seems that some cyclists are equally unimpressed, and as an observer I wonder where those two wheels are meant to go when the cycle track at the end of Clifton Terrace ends 100 yards from where it starts. If part of the logic behind the new arrangements was to stop cars using St. Paul's Hill Clifton Terrace as a route into town centre, surely this could have been achieved by installing a single no left turn sign at the junction rather than a multiplicity of large unsightly notices on all approaches. Finally, the new traffic lights have practically done nothing to reduce congestion. At busy times, I've seen buses and cars queuing from the railway bridge lights back to the Westgate roundabout, and doubtless beyond. And that letter's from Carol Orchard, Northview, Full Flood, Winchester.
New farm shop, says Simon Lever. Considering the ups and downs of the retail sector, it's excellent news that yet another food-focused business has opened its doors to the public. The new shop selling fresh fruit, vegetables and meat is, to say the least, a welcome addition to Winchester's thriving high street. Westlands Farm Shop employs a good number of people, which can only be good news. Together with the recently opened Cornish Bakery, it will attract more people to shop locally. All good news for Winchester and the area. So writes Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
This letter from Terry Butler is about homelessness. So good to read such a positive headline report, especially on the subject of homelessness. Chronicle front page, November 7th. I viewed the city's cabinet housing committee online and was most impressed with the work undertaken over the last year, demonstrated in their thorough, detailed and strategic reports addressing the 122% increases in notifications of homelessness to the council. In contrast, Hampshire County Council still intend to implement its unilateral decision to withdraw all funding from 6 projects supporting homeless people in its attempt to reduce the $132 million shortfall in its 25-26 budget. This despite considerable opposition externally through the county's recent public consultation exercise and internally from their all-party scrutiny committee. As a former employee of HCC, with its hitherto fine reputation for helping vulnerable people, I remain bemused by this quick fix, short-sighted decision. Not only does it load further additional pressure on the City Council and their partners in all sectors, but also it does little to improve the local economy as costs are merely shifted elsewhere. I was pleased to learn from the meeting that the county has slightly delayed the implementation of the cuts, which indicates that it is listening. I do hope, therefore, that it will now review its current stance and not only reinstate its funding, but also increase its financial contributions to these and much needed other projects. The County Council has the land and the wherewithal to provide additional units physically, plus the experience and skill sets to offer human resources, e.g. counselling, coaching and employment support, all required to meet the diverse needs of homeless people. From Terry Butler, Lansdowne Avenue, St Cross.
And this is a letter from the Reverend Christopher Pettit about firework control. I write this on the Saturday of the main Winchester Roundtable fireworks night. There have been fireworks exploding for much of the last 7 nights, and I and my usually happy, confident 6-year-old Cocker Spaniel have had enough. I know there's no likelihood of these big displays stopping in the future, and I realise that they raise money for good causes are enjoyed by many, including myself in the past. However, these smaller but still very loud outbreaks of fireworks really do need to be controlled. Not only should this happen for the sake of peaceful nights for residents and much-loved pets, but frankly in sympathy and partnership with those in our world over these past months who've suffered so appallingly from explosions that are anything but fun. In particular, families in Ukraine, Palestine, Lebanon, and Israel. And that's from Christopher Pettit, Market Street, Winchester.
Duncan Eves writes about impromptu music. It is every concert promoter's worst fear when an artist cancels a concert due to illness. Finding replacements at short notice is never easy. Imagine then the problem when the replacement artist also has to cancel. Thus, on Friday night, November the 8th, the audience arrived at Stockbridge Music to hear not the expected song recital, but a complete concert presented at very short notice by the pianist Paul Turner, an experienced soloist and chamber musician. His first half consisted mainly of works by Grieg, beginning with the well-known Wedding Day at Trollhättan, and continuing with a selection of the lyric pieces. There was much sensitive playing here, the short pieces illustrating bird calls, the fluttering of butterfly wings, and the solitude of the lonely traveller, all captured with pianistic skill. Continuing the recital, Chopin's Fantaisie Impromptue was taken at a sensible pace. So many pianists seem to delight in showing how fast they can play this, meaning the notes get lost in a blur of speed. While the posthumous Nocturne, so well known from the film The Pianist, was beautifully played. Paul chose to occupy the second half of the concert with Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, a truly epic piece of piano writing. Again, there was much delicate and sensitive piano playing on display, although I felt that the demonic elements in The Gnome and Baba Yaga were rather underplayed and a bit too cautious. Elsewhere, the characterizations were handled really well, and the tolling bells in the Great Gate of Kiev sounded truly sonorous. Rather than leave us with this thunderous sound, Paul chose to play Debussy's Clair de Lune as his encore, a reminder of the magic of a moonlit evening, which sadly was nowhere apparent as we stepped outside into the cloudy November night. That letter is from Duncan Eves, Goring Field, Week, Winchester.
This letter from Sharon Hopkins is headed Proportional Vote. Knowing that millions of people have elected as their president a convicted felon who carelessly utters statements like, "I need the kind of generals that Hitler had," is nothing short of terrifying. In Remembrance Week, lest we forget, can we really believe this couldn't happen here? While some of us, trying to forget Johnson, still hear him on television describing Trump as courteous and polite, we are reminded that there are still Trump loyalists such as Johnson and Farage peddling simplistic answers to deeply complex issues. Our current archaic voting system, first past the post, allows for minority rule, distorting the true voice of the people. Just look at Labour, who secured a massive majority with a mere 34% of the vote, and Johnson ascended with less than 44%. The year 2029 of the next general election is fast approaching. If we don't take action now to ensure our votes truly matter and advocate some form of proportional representation, we risk slipping into the chaos, division, and hostility that is currently consuming the US. We must awaken to the urgency of our situation before it's too late. From Sharon Hopkins, White's Road, Bitton, Southampton.
And this is a short letter from Stephen Percy, Brexit woes. With an increasingly isolationist America and a newly assertive China, what a marvellous time to have cut ourselves off from our main trading bloc, the European Union. Stand by to be a lot poorer. And that's from Stephen Percy, Easton, Winchester.
That concludes the letters. We next have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, and then after that it will be first person.
And the editorial comment this week is entitled, Could You Help to Spread Some Joy? For many children, Christmas will not be a time of happiness. There are many youngsters for whom the festive season is a time of sadness and loss. This can be for a number of reasons, including poverty and loneliness. Whilst many kids are lucky to have hundreds of pounds spent on them, others live in cash-strapped households where all money goes on food or paying for heating. So today, the Hampshire Chronicle is asking readers to help in two ways. One is to donate £20 to the NSPCC's Childline to help pay for its vital counselling service. We highlight the issue on page 46 of this newspaper, and the link up of the Chronicle's publisher NewsQuest with the NSPCC. Sir Peter Wanless, chief executive of the NSPCC, said, "There were almost 5,500 counselling sessions delivered by Childline to children and young people last Christmas over the phone and online. At a time when children should be asking about Santa and when they can open their presents, thousands of children need support on how to stop safe from abuse, how to cope, and how to stop feeling so lonely. Our partnership with NewsQuest Media Group this year has been a fantastic way to share important information about our services and campaigns." NewsQuest and the NSPCC have also worked together to create a special Amazon wish list for toys, which can be used during counselling sessions. Readers can log on and pick the gift that they would like to give these children. To access the wish list, this is a bit tricky, but I'll read it anyway, go to bit.ly/3YRJJ55. I'm going to read that again. bit.ly/3YRJJ55. More locally, the other way to help is to support Project Secret Santa, which is encouraging people and businesses to donate gifts to vulnerable children from ages 3 to 18. Signs and posters have been popping up across the city in the initiative set up by Winchester mum Georgina Abbott. She aims to help 1,800 children with a stocking of presents. Please support both initiatives and help to spread some joy and light into dark places this Christmas.
This item by George Hayter is entitled Why Pictures Should Move. Moving all the pictures in our house is a task I relish. We have accumulated a motley collection of 26 photos, prints and paintings, some of them my own efforts. At the start of our latest move, I unhooked the pictures from the walls in every room of our three-bedroom home and lined them up on the floor in one room. It took an hour to hang them all up again, but in different places. Each picture was relocated to a position away from where it had been hanging for the previous 6 months or so. What was the point? Putting familiar pictures in new positions makes people notice them more. They see them afresh and pause to enjoy them. If you find yourself taking your art for granted, and every room rehang could put the pet back in your pictures. An inter-room shuffle will allow you to see them in a new light, and not just literally. Once you've got all your pics off their hooks, there is one rule I urge you to follow when putting them back. Do not put any on the hook it occupied before. All other rules about where to hang pictures can be ignored, along with the preconceptions about which of your pictures should go where. Forget conventions about what sort of things belong over the fireplace or in your bedroom or facing the front door. Think surprises. Don't remove any hooks or nails, and don't put any new ones in. Make do with your existing hooks and nails, and don't hesitate to put a small picture where a big picture has been before, and vice versa. What can be done for pictures on hooks can also be done, of course, for posters held up by blue tack. And the same goes for ornaments and for photos in tabletop frames. All come alive when rearranged and given a new place. The professionals do this. If curators routinely rearrange the pictures in art galleries, there must be something to it. Galleries invariably have more pictures than they have space to hang, with the surplus assigned to their reserve collection unseen in the basement or a warehouse. I am in the same position, with more pictures than I think my walls can attractively bear. My reserve collection of about 10 pictures is in a cupboard. Unfortunately, a reserve collection brings the dissatisfaction of being unable to display everything at once. However, a surplus of pictures does bring delight at each move, when favourites exiled to the dark cupboard are welcomed back to the light. Allowing yourself a reserve brings freedom to carry on acquiring works regardless of wall space, whether by buying art, by making art, or by rescuing art from a skip. Now you can treat yourself to spontaneous picture purchases in charity shops, at auctions, or on holiday in Cornish souvenir shops. Once a home is built, construction may cease, yet a house is never really finished. I believe that dwellings should evolve as their occupants change. Moving pictures is part of that. It helps keep life interesting. People don't realise houses and flats get bored after a few years. If your home could talk, it would thank you for shuffling your pictures. Some people are bored with their home. They would find that moving pictures around is a lot quicker way of getting a new environment than moving house. Cheaper too. Costs nothing. Undercuts redecorating too. Unless you live alone, your idea of where pictures should hang is likely to differ from the ideas of others. To head off a household argument, remind the opposition that no picture move is irreversible. Tell them, let's try it for a week. By week's end, they will be enjoying at least some elements of your novel layout. Before you know it, your brilliant rearrange has been in place 6 months. Everyone loves it. Time for another move.
Some What's On announcements. From Saturday the 16th of November, which through to Saturday the 23rd of November, that's this coming week, the Chesil Theatre is presenting Jekyll and Hyde. I read from their publicity, random assaults cause fear and panic in Victorian London. So you've been warned. On Friday the 22nd of November, the Winchester Cathedral Christmas Market opens, and it will continue until the 22nd of December. On Saturday the 23rd of November, there will be a concert by the Winchester Symphony Orchestra at New Hall at 7:30. And then on Thursday the 28th of November, will be the Winchester Cathedral Lantern Parade. And when we get onto the other items of news later on in this recording, there's lots more information about Christmas events here in Winchester. At the moment, the sun is rising around 7:30 in the morning and setting around 4:30 in the afternoon. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recordings you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861229. That's 01962 861229. And this number can also be found on the key fob attached to your memory stick. We are now continuing with further items of news.
MP's bill looks to tackle animal smuggling. The Winchester MP is prioritising animal welfare as he looks to take forward legislation that would tackle the smuggling of dogs, cats and ferrets into the country. Danny Chambers, who's a trained veterinarian, is one of three members of Parliament taking forward proposals for new animal laws as private members' bills in the House of Commons. Dr. Chambers said, "As a trained vet, I've treated many dogs with cruelly cropped ears or docked tails, leaving them physically scarred and emotionally traumatised. My bill is not only animal welfare measure, preventing illegal importation of vulnerable animals, but it is also an important public health measure. By restricting animal imports, we will help end illegal pet smuggling and prevent the spread of diseases like rabies. By taking advantage of policy loopholes, criminals have been able to traffic vulnerable animals into the UK. This gap in the system has caused the suffering of thousands of innocent animals. As a vet, I think it's time we close this loophole, stop it from being exploited by criminals, and put an end to this cruel trade once and for all." His proposals are expected to focus on stopping commercial imports of puppies and kittens, protecting heavily pregnant pets. They could also ban the import of those animals that have been mutilated, such as those with cropped ears or docked tails. These practices have long been banned in the UK.
Team celebrating 40 years on the airwaves. A radio station in Winchester has celebrated being on air for four decades with its dedicated volunteers. On Friday, November the 8th, Winchester Radio and its volunteers gathered with the Mayor of Winchester at Rick Stein's restaurant on High Street. Having first established as Winchester Hospital Radio at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in October 1984, the radio station, pioneered by its devoted volunteers, has since expanded its broadcasting into an Ofcom licensed community radio service at 94.7 FM. That's 94.7 FM. The chair of Winchester Radio, Anna O'Brien, said, "It is wonderful to be able to get together as volunteers with the members of the community we serve here in Winchester to celebrate Winchester Radio's 40 years, and we are delighted that the Mayor of Winchester is able to join us. We're very grateful to Rick Stein Winchester for providing us with such a beautiful venue to celebrate this special anniversary of volunteer effort, and to the organisations and businesses who have supported us with raffle prizes too. Tony Knight, who has been with the radio station for over 40 years, reflected on fond memories with the organisation. He said, "After 40 years, it's still great to be a member of a dedicated team. Winchester Radio is a truly intimate medium broadcasting to the local community. I look forward to Winchester Radio celebrating our golden anniversary in 2034. At the gathering, awards for dedicated volunteers were presented by the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Russell Gordon-Smith, who praised the commitments made by individuals. The Mayor has worked closely with Anna at the radio station, which is at the very heart of the community in Winchester. The station aims to support those aged over 50, promoting local activities and stimulating people to get involved. It signposts listeners to health, charity and support services they may need, keeping them engaged with the community as a means to reduce feelings of loneliness and isolation. A cooperative with teamwork and collective zeal at its heart, Winchester Radio is always looking for new volunteers to join its excellent team.
This item is headed Warning to Elderly on Courier Fraud. Hampshire Police have issued a warning about rising rates of courier fraud after 6 cases were recorded over the past 2 weeks, including 2 in Winchester. Residents in Hampshire and the Isle of Wight have been asked to remain vigilant as crooks target the elderly. On October 29th, a man in his 70s from Winchester received a call from a man claiming to be a police officer. The man claimed he was conducting an investigation on counterfeit and foreign money. He told the man his card had been used in a fraudulent way and asked him to withdraw cash so he could investigate if it was counterfeit. The man withdrew a total of £10,000 and it was collected from his home. This type of fraud typically sees a victim receive an unexpected call from someone who pretends to be either a police officer, a staff member from their bank, or an employee from an internet or phone provider. In another case on November the 2nd, a woman in her 80s from the Winchester area received a call from a man claiming to be a police officer who was investigating a suspicious financial transaction on her account. The woman was told to withdraw cash so they could investigate if it was counterfeit. She withdrew £4,000 and the cash was collected from her home. They then tell the victim that their account has been subject to fraudulent activity and requested the victim helps with the ongoing investigation. Victims are usually asked for details about their financial accounts before being sent to their bank to withdraw money. They are then told to hand over money or an expensive item to a fraudulent courier who will typically come to their home to collect it. Since October the 29th, officers have received 6 reports of courier fraud, with 5 cases reported in the last week. The total loss is £23,000. One victim was scammed out of £10,000. Aside from Winchester, courier fraud cases have been reported in Alton, Farnborough, Southampton and the New Forest. Officers are urging people not to engage with these type of calls. Victims are typically elderly and officers are asking anyone with an elderly relative, loved one, friend or associate to please make them aware of this scam. Detective Constable Michael Dumbleton from the Economic Crime Unit said, "These fraudsters are heartless individuals who prey on some of the most vulnerable people living in our area. These incidents can often have a huge impact on victims as they come to terms with the fact that they have fallen for a scam and the financial losses that come with it. If anyone receives a call of this nature, they should not engage with the caller and hang up. We are wholly committed to investigating offences of this nature and will take steps to identify and bring those individuals responsible to justice."
You need 2 hands to eat our sandwiches. A new sandwich bar has opened in Winchester, aiming to attract customers with fresh ingredients and nostalgic vibes. 2 Hands opened its doors today, Thursday, November the 7th, for the first time on Southgate Street, opposite Mint Tea Boutique, offering sandwiches made with locally sourced ingredients. It's owned by Bex Smith, 36, who also owns another business in town, Open House Deli. She is a Winchester native and was inspired by the shop she knew growing up. Bex said, "We want to feel like a local hangout spot, somewhere where people can come every day. We've handed out loads of flyers. We're going to be open from 7 in the morning. Get your coffee, get your sarnie before work. We're also going to do breakfast butties, and then in time, we're going to do pre-order. The name Two Hands does not have a deep and intricate meaning. Beck said it's simply because you need two hands to eat a good sandwich. The Chronicle asked Beck if she was concerned with the level of competition in Winchester, especially following the closure of the independent bakery, Winchester Bakers. The entrepreneur said her shop was targeting the trade of coffee chains and supermarkets where people buy sandwiches for lunch. Beck said there was a gap in the market for a really, really good premium sandwich. Everything has really good quality ingredients. We're using lots of local suppliers. The Chronicle tried the Coronation Chicken Sandwich, Beck's personal favourite, and divided it up back in our office, where our team thoroughly enjoyed it. Although we received it for free, the sandwich would usually cost £7.50, which we thought was about right, considering the size and quality. The prices of sandwiches ranged from £5 to £9.50. As well as sandwiches, homemade cookies are on offer, along with coffee, sourced by River Coffee Roasters, who are based in Alsford.
Silent tribute to the fallen heroes. Hundreds of people gathered to remember those who have given their lives in service on Remembrance Sunday in Winchester. The day began with a parade starting from the Broadway at 9:30 a.m. with both military and civic processions marching along the High Street. The Very Reverend Catherine Ogle, the Dean of Winchester, then welcomed visitors to the Cathedral for the service at 10 a.m. on Sunday, November the 10th. Shortly before 11 a.m, the congregation left the church to join the hundreds gathered outside in the outer close for the official 2-minute silence. Wreaths were laid at the War Memorial by Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire, Nigel Atkinson, Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Russell Gordon-Smith, MP Danny Chambers, and representatives of several local groups and associations. The service closed with the blessing before the crowds dispersed. Cadet Ashdeep Gotra from Winchester attended the service for the first time alongside his family. The 13-year-old said, "It was good. It was my first time doing it." Ashdeep's parents and grandparents said they were very proud. The next day, Armistice Day was commemorated with the 2-minute silence in Winchester on Monday, followed by a service of remembrance. The 11 a.m. service outside the Guildhall was attended by the mayor, councillors, military leaders, soldiers from Winchester Army Training Regiment, Royal British Legion members, and a contingent of students from Winchester College Cadet Force. The event followed those held on Remembrance Sunday. The Reverend Graham Topping, Royal British Legion, led the proceedings before and after the silence. "We are remembering all those people who lost their lives or gave their lives or in some way suffered in not only 2 world wars but in subsequent conflicts throughout the world. People who gave their lives, people who suffered for the freedom, to attain the freedom we have today," he added. "It's important that we remember that because what we enjoy today is because of what happened yesterday. The freedom that we have is because these guys sacrificed their lives." Lieutenant Colonel Jim Phipps, commanding officer of Winchester ATR, based at St John Moore Barracks, said, "I think it's very important for us as ATR Winchester, as part of the community, to be involved in the events in the city." Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Russell Gordon-Smith, said, "Armistice Day is a really historic occasion, and it was over 100 years ago that the guns fell silent on the Western Front." Winchester Council leader Councillor Martin Todd also attended the event and said, "Winchester obviously has a long and proud military history, but it's important to remember that ultimately that's about the people of Winchester, the families of Winchester, who have had family members go away and serve, and in some cases not come home, or coming home having suffered greatly. Observing the service from across the road, retired Corporal Victor Perry, 1st Battalion Royal Green Jacket, said, 'It means a lot. Victor served in the British Army for 12 years. The former Green Jacket called himself one of the lucky ones for his chance to travel the world during his many years of service.'"
This item is headed MP Critical of Budget Impact on Hospice. Chancellor Rachel Reeves delivered the budget last Wednesday, but the fallout has been heated and Winchester's businesses are not immune. Among the proposals she set out, national insurance contributions and increases to the minimum wage were among the most divisive in Winchester. Asked to comment on the potential impact of Labour's budget on Winchester's businesses, MP Dr. Danny Chambers said funding the NHS and education is right, but it was a political choice for the government to target small businesses for the bulk of their tax increases. Unlike the Conservatives, who just want to continue cutting public services, the Liberal Democrats want the government to get the big banks, large tech companies, and hugely profitable oil and gas industries to pay their fair share to get our public services working again. Dr. Chambers noted national insurance rises amongst the biggest problems with the budget, saying care homes, GP surgeries and hospices would be hit. He said, "I recently visited Winchester Hospice and saw how hard the staff there work. The extra burden is the last thing they need." The MP for Winchester also raised concerns over inheritance tax, in particular how it will affect family-run farms. Dr. Chambers was not alone in his concerns. Winchester Business Improvement District noted all but the smallest of employers would be hit by the Chancellor's measures. Executive Director Sir Paul, Dr. Paul Spencer said, "Many will now be calculating how much this will cost them. Some sectors will be able to pass on this cost to customers, while others, such as those which rely on discretionary spending, may have no choice but to limit pay increases for their staff." Dr. Spencer welcomed the government's address of business rates, but said it should have gone further.
Surge of custom in farm shop inlist. A farm shop near Alsford has experienced a significant rise in attention after it was named as one of the best farm shops in the country. Since being included in the Times 35 Best Farm Shops in Britain shortlist, West Lee Farm Shop has experienced a surge in custom. Shop owner Rachel Pepiat said the team was thrilled to be included in a selection of regionally sourced produce retailers published by a national newspaper. The list, which was released on October the 26th, has brought in customers from far and wide, according to Rachel, many of whom have never heard of such a little farm shop before, but were delighted to see so many locally made Hampshire products on its shelves. This includes a variety of goods, from fresh produce and meats to preserves and pickles, with the store also showcasing a range of local sparkling wines and body products. the Westlea Farm Shop, acclaimed for its traditionally harvested hand-cut watercress, is a local treasure not unfamiliar with national attention. Along with the recent Times shortlist, it's also been featured on the ITV show James Martin's Saturday Morning and has been included in BBC Radio Solent's Sunday show, with owner Rachel discussing the health benefits of adding watercress to your meals. The future for Westlea is exciting as the business looks to continue its production of hand-bunched watercress and maintaining their local and loyal customer base while attracting newcomers with a diverse array of Hampshire-based goods and whole foods.
Giant Tree launches Christmas Countdown. The Brooks Shopping Centre has begun the Christmas Countdown by bringing in Winchester's biggest indoor Christmas tree. The Christmas tree is the largest in the city, according to the Brooks Centre, and it was put up last week on the November the 1st. In a statement, the Brooks Shopping Centre said, "Being at the heart of Winchester, the Brooks Centre sees it as an opportunity to take the lead and be a scene setter for Christmas. We wanted to kick-start the festive celebrations as a warm-up to the Christmas light switch-on the evening of the 14th of November." Last year was Yarrow Estate's first Christmas as owners of the Brooks, and we wanted to make it special by having the giant tree. It was so successful and attracted a lot of attention from locals and visitors, so we didn't want to disappoint this year. We have several local choirs booked throughout December to make Christmas shopping extra special and festive, so we hope everyone will take the time to enjoy it. The Brooks Shopping Centre has announced there will be late night shopping until 7 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, starting November the 29th until December the 23rd.
This item headed Danger Concrete Action at Hospital. A campaign to force the government to remove a dangerous form of concrete from Hampshire Hospital has met with success. The Liberal Democrat campaign to ensure the removal of RAAC has forced the government to act, with the announcement of Royal Hampshire County Hospital now being placed on the list for removal of the concrete. Reinforced autoclaved aerated concrete, or RAAC, is a lightweight, bubbly form of concrete that is usually found in roofs and occasionally in walls and floors. It looks like standard concrete, but compared with the traditional reinforced material, which is typically denser, RAAC is weak and less durable. The building material is less durable than reinforced concrete and deteriorates over time, so is susceptible to sudden failure, potentially endangering patients. The Liberal Democrat campaign to remove RAAC from Royal Hampshire County Hospital has resulted in the government putting the hospital on a scheme which would see the dangerous concrete removed. Liberal Democrat MP for Eastleigh, Liz Jarvis, said, "We are delighted that the government has listened to Liberal Democrats here in Eastleigh and the wider region and has committed to removing the dangerous RAAC from Royal Hampshire County Hospital." After years of shameful neglect by the Conservative Party, our local health services have been run to the ground, with patients unable to even be sure that the roof won't collapse in on them when they're getting the care they need. The new government must now follow through on this promise to the people of Eastleigh and ensure RAAC is removed without delay. Aside from hospitals, schools have been at the centre of a furore over RAAC in recent times. Last year, 104 schools and colleges were told by the Department for Education to partially or fully shut buildings just as pupils prepare to return after the summer holidays. Though not confirmed, it is estimated that around 24 schools in England have been told to close entirely because of the presence of RAAC. A spokesperson from Hampshire Hospital said, "The mitigations we have taken mean the hospital remains entirely safe for staff, patients and visitors, with all our services continuing uninterrupted."
Pub cyclists raised £2,000 for charity. A country pub cycling to raise money for charity is all set to break more than £2,000. The Cricketers Inn in Easton hosted its Ride to Remembrance, a 72-hour event that invited people to pay £10 for 30-minute cycling slots to raise money for the Poppy Appeal. Publican Andrew Gwilym Kent, 31, said the pub was set to raise a four-figure sum. He said, "The message I really want to get across is the community message. When we got here a year ago, the pub was in a pretty poor place. There was a negative relationship between the community and the pub. We've worked really hard over the past 12 months to get where we are, and for me, this event is just a nice way of representing the community that we built. People were originally meant to cycle in one-hour cycle slots, but they shrank down to 30-minute slots because of demand and the varying fitness levels."
Communities plan to reopen historic shop. Residents of a Winchester estate are working to reopen a long-closed shop. The Barn Stores in Abbots Barton closed as a convenience store many years ago, but a local group is drawing up plans to revive it as a shop and cafe on Chandler Road. The Abbots Barton Community Group, ABCG, is developing ideas and hopes to put its plans to the building's owner, the City Council, in the spring. ABCG said the business could also comprise a post office, co-working space, an activity space for yoga classes, children's groups, publicly accessible toilets, and be fully accessible. It believes that with volunteers working as staff, it could be a successful venture. A similar community shop in Hursley is doing well. The building has been vacant since 2022, when a tropical fish business moved out. The convenience store closed more than 10 years ago, one of the last such shops in the city. The idea to reopen the shop stems from 2023, when the ABCG saw the Barn Stores was up for sale, and that members were interested in turning it into a community cafe and shop. It's more than 3,000 square feet over two floors. ABCG Chair Chris Poulter said, "We want to give the community an asset we can be proud of, somewhere that provides basic services, such as a convenience store, but is also a place to meet, a place that celebrates and grows our understanding of our local history and heritage." The Abbots Barton Community Group believes the old Barn Stores can provide all this, so we are really excited about the opportunity that Winchester City Council has offered us. The building has a huge amount of internal space over two floors. The actual uses for it will need to be consulted with the local community and will need to be affordable within our funding. But we believe it could include shop, a cafe, some co-working space for local home workers, a teaching or yoga space, and some new accessibility features to make sure people with less mobility can access and enjoy every part of it. The ABCG are a volunteer group working on a variety of issues for the whole of the Abbots Barton community. Its website states, "One of our most exciting projects is our bid to take on, renovate and reopen the old barn stores, this fantastic building that was built in 1799.
Book soon, plea on carol service tickets. Naomi House and Jack's Place Hospices are inviting the community to a Christmas carol service at Winchester Cathedral. The event, which will take place on Wednesday, December 11th, is being held to raise funds for the charity. The service will be hosted by the Rev. Nicky Smallwood, chaplain at Naomi House and Jack's Place, who will bring together attendees to celebrate the season of giving and gratitude. The service will include a selection of carols and readings, along with performances for the Voices for Hospices choir, who will captivate hearts with their beautiful and moving renditions of timeless classics. The money raised from the evening will go to support the work Naomi House and Jack's Place provide in delivering care and support for life-threatened and life-limited children, young adults, and their families. Mr. Smallwood said, "The run-up to Christmas is always a magical time of year at the hospices, with much excitement, fun, and joy. So we're thrilled to invite you to our fundraising carol service. Join us in singing some of our most loved carols, led by 60-strong Voices for Hospices choir and the Naomi House and Jack's Place Chamber Choir, as we are taken on a journey through traditional Bible readings and thought-provoking poems, all held at Winchester's exceptionally beautiful cathedral." Charlotte Patrick, event team leader at Naomi House and Jack's Place, said, "We are thrilled to bring our local community together at Winchester Cathedral, not only to celebrate this special season, but also to raise essential funds for the hospices. We are delighted to be joined by our own chaplain, the Reverend Nicky, who will lead the service, and the wonderful Voices for Hospices choir and our very own chamber choir. We encourage everyone to book their tickets soon for what promises to be a truly memorable evening. Tickets for the carol service start from £20. Guests can choose to book either a general ticket for the event or opt for a package that includes a general ticket along with access to a hosted drinks reception in the north transept of the cathedral. For those interested in attending, tickets can be booked via naomihouse.org.uk/carols24. That's naomihouse, all one word, .org.uk/carols24.
We end our recording today by just a little bit of more information about what was mentioned in the Hampshire Chronicle editorial, which is about help bring joy this Christmas. And I read the article, another article, and it says, "Today we," that means the Hampshire Chronicle, "are asking readers to help us bring hope to children over the festive season by donating cash or buying toys to support our NSPCC Christmas appeal. As Christmas approaches, children across the country will be asking parents and carers countless questions about the mysteries of this annual festival, like how can reindeer fly, or how will Santa visit everybody in just one night? But the NSPCC's Childline counsellors will hear from a child every 45 seconds who needs answers to more serious questions, not about the joy of Christmas, but about how to cope with abuse or loneliness. The campaign is asking readers to make a £20 donation to Childline to ensure children get the support they need." Sir Peter Wanless, Chief Executive of the NSPCC, says, "There are almost 5,500 counselling sessions delivered by Childline to children and young people last Christmas over the phone and online. At a time when children should be asking about Santa and when they can open their presents, thousands of children need support on how to stay safe from abuse, how to cope, and how to stop feeling so lonely. Our partnership with NewsQuest Media Group this year has been a fantastic way to share important information about our services and campaigns. And we are so grateful for the company and all its news titles for sharing the campaign, which will raise vital funds and help our Childline counsellors be there to answer children's questions this Christmas. A donation of £20 could help counsellors answer calls from five children. Henry Favreau Walker, NewsQuest CEO, said, "It has been a delight to support the NSPCC throughout this year, and I hope that we can spread some festive cheer by helping them to raise as much funds as possible to help children this Christmas." To donate, you can either go to the website, which is nspcc.org.uk. That's nspcc.org.uk. Or you can telephone 020 7825 2505. So that's 020 7825 2505. That concludes our extracts for the week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And Heather Bryant.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you are able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope. And a reminder that you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on AWAS Community Radio 99.8 FM and digital on Saturdays at 5 p.m.